I didn't grow up in a liturgical tradition. There were no hundreds of years old service structures, planned readings, or written prayers for us. There are many good things that I gained from the tradition I grew up in, but there are days when I feel regret for not being rooted in the structures and prayers of an ancient tradition. On days when I don't know what to pray, and those days seem more and more frequent for me, I rely on the Holy Spirit to interpret my groanings. But I've learned that there's a long tradition of church prayers to help God's people in those moments. I just haven't learned them. The one prayer I do have is the one that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and it is one I find myself increasingly leaning into and praying. For the next few weeks, we're going to walk through different elements of this prayer. Today, we're starting at the beginning of the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, a prayer that has become known in some traditions as the Our Father. That's today on the Covenant Weekly Podcast, Season 2, Episode 19, Our Father. Just a final word of introduction. I'm going to review the Lord's Prayer twice each week during this series. The first time will be a contemporary translation of the prayer as written in Matthew 6, 9-13. I'll be using a translation called the Common English Bible. Then after considering one part of the prayer and sharing some reminders for the week, I'll close with the traditionally used version of the prayer. I'm closing with that not because I think it's better or to simply uphold tradition. I'm closing with that because I want to invite you, wherever you are, to pray that prayer with me each week, thinking deeply about what you are praying and what we are praying together. And I know for many of us, that is the version that we know. So this is the prayer Jesus taught his followers to pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring in your kingdom so that your will is done on earth as it's done in heaven. Give us the bread we need for today. Forgive us for the ways we have wronged you, just as we also forgive those who have wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Let's consider that first sentence. Our Father who is in heaven, uphold the holiness of your name. The Father here is God. Now, that's not meant to be a gender identity term or a male term. It's a social structure term. A father, in their patriarchal structure, was the one who is responsible for everything, the one who ultimately oversaw everything, the one in whose name everyone in the family acted, the one who everyone in the family was supposed to seek to honor. Life, provision, status, care, all these things flowed from the Father. At the very beginning of this prayer, we are to root our source of all these things in God. At the very beginning of this prayer, our Father is set in a location called heaven, our Father who is in heaven. A great tradition has developed over the centuries of envisioning heaven as a place far up in the sky. It's believed that God lives there, up there somewhere, wherever that is. And that Christians who die live there too, somehow, with no body or with a temporary body or with a new body. You know, that part's debated. The description of this heaven is often taken from the book of Revelation, which describes something called the New Jerusalem, with gates made of extraordinary jewels and streets made of pure gold. As a result, when we pray this, our Father who is in heaven, we often picture God in some distant, extravagant palace city in the sky. But that's not the way Jesus talked about heaven. Heaven is, in brief, the dwelling place of God. That place in Revelation, which is meant as a metaphor and is described as something coming down to earth, now that place is heaven not because it's ornate. The ornateness has nothing to do with its heavenliness. It is heaven because God is there. But Jesus described the kingdom of heaven as something that came near with him. Everywhere he went, Jesus preached the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Heaven wasn't somewhere out there. It was here and now as he preached, healed, showed love, and brought shalom, righteousness, and peace into the world. As we pray to our Father in heaven, we aren't praying to a God who is distant. We are praying to a God who is present and active in any and all good and right and beautiful and loving realities in this world. We are acknowledging within the struggle and pain that God is with us and that not all is broken and lost. Our Father, who is in heaven, uphold the holiness of your name. I love this last part, and it seems so much more to me when it feels like everything is falling apart around me. Holiness is a fancy religious word that means other or set apart. If you go to the text version of this recording, there's a link to a short video on the idea of holy. You know, this prayer identifies that God is holy, and it calls on God to remain that way. You see, we don't want or need a God who brings along more brokenness or pain and mess. We're all too aware of that reality and are experiencing it almost every day. We need a God who is different than that. We need a God who is, at the core, pure and right and fully love. A God who is set apart, a God who is other. If God is not those things, what hope do we have? But because God is holy and has brought that holiness close as our Father, there is hope in the trouble. The pain and mess isn't the end of the story. We get glimpses of heaven here and now with the hope of a full rescue and healing beyond the threat of death, which is the ultimate act of brokenness. So we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, uphold the holiness of your name. This is a prayer of confession that we are not what God is. Because of that, it is a prayer of humility and submission. But it is also a prayer of deep and profound hope. Thanks to everyone who participated in our coffee and conversation on Sunday. There was good conversation, and I'm so grateful for the contribution from everyone who was there. Our annual meeting is scheduled for March 5th at 3:30 p.m. At that meeting, we will officially receive our financial statements from 2022. We'll approve our budget and affirm people for specific roles at the church. Our annual meeting booklet with the full agenda and reports will be posted on the event page of our website as soon as that document is available. In the coming weeks, watch for more information about our summer VBS. We are revisiting our Inspire Makerspace Camp theme this year, so we'll need lots of help. We will need group leaders, station leaders, tech people, registration people, and of course, people praying for the week. Watch for more information about Inspire and block off the evenings of July 10th to 13th in your calendar. Finally, there are three areas of Sunday ministry that we really need some people to join in service. Please consider helping in one of these areas. Tech people. We need people who can be trained to run a computer program or operate the soundboard or set up and run the cameras. These things can sound intimidating, but two out of the three are pretty straightforward once you've been trained. Running the soundboard takes a little bit more practice and skill. If you'd be open to exploring one of these areas to see if you could do it, please talk to Brent. Talking to him isn't making a full commitment, it's a step in considering this possibility. We'd love to give more of our youth a chance to be in the youth program on Sundays instead of being in the booth every single week. The second area we would really like to have some help is to reestablish greeter teams on Sunday. You could volunteer by yourself and be partnered with someone, or you could sign up as a team if you and a friend want to do this together. The requirements are to be welcoming and friendly as you greet people. Get kids signed in and help point people in the right direction, whether that's to a seat in the auditorium, to the coffee, or to the washroom. If you be open to this, please talk with me, John, or directly to Terry Dupuy. The third area I want to mention is our coffee ministry. Letitia Jeffkins has taken this on, but she would like one or two backup people in case there are weeks when she can't make and serve the coffee. She'd be glad to show you the routine that's being developed. You can talk directly to Letitia or talk to me, and I'll get you connected. As we close today, I invite you to pray with me the traditional version of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessings to you as you move through the remainder of this week.